You are invited to join us this Sunday morning at Denver Bible Church to worship God and study His Word. At 9:30, Pastor Bob Enyart's verse-by-verse Bible study will help you to gain new understanding of God's Word. The Bible study is followed by a time of fellowship at 10:30, then join our worship team in praise and worship of our Creator God at 10:50, followed by Pastor Enyart's sermon. Denver Bible Church meets at Two Roads School at the corner of Oak and 72nd Streets in Arvada. Join us this Sunday at Denver Bible Church, and bring your Bible.
Warning, there's truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry.
I like that. He said, bring your Bible. I like that. I like that a lot about a church. In fact, I've got my Bible open and the day's headlines, and I'm toggling in between the two, trying to decide where to start. Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I am Doug McBurney, a mere pew warmer at Denver Bible Church. And Bob has so graciously allowed for me to sit in for him today as he is engaged in a plot to take over the world, from what I understand. And apparently that takes precedence over the show, but just for today? Well, we don't know. It's a top secret mission. I hope to be back with you Thursday, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Was there something else in the introduction? Oh, yes. Warning. Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead for those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity. We know here at Bob Enyart Live that you would like to censor anyone who would ever dare even consider the possibility of quoting a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice that raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. As I sat down in front of the microphone, I toggled between my Bible and the headlines of the day on the computer and the Bible one, I find myself in Philippians. Philippians, the second chapter and the seventh verse, where the apostle Paul says, therefore, God also has highly exalted Jesus Christ and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So what does that mean, those under the earth? I mean, I can understand those on the earth bowing, confessing, those in heaven bowing and confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. But what does that mean of those under the earth? If you have an answer, please help me out with this Bible verse. The number to call is 1-800-836-9278. If you can help me untangle the mystery of Philippians 2 in the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th verse. If you can help me out, please do. 1-800-836-9278. But don't feel obligated to call, because I have more news than I know what to do with. There's so much news. Although I find that verse more compelling than any one of these stories that I had planned to talk about today. And of those under the earth, their knees shall bow and their tongues will confess that Jesus is Lord. What are you trying to say to me, Paul? I need a preacher to help me out. See, this is the problem when I sit in for Bob, is that I don't have the theological depth. But I do have my Bible with me, and I will ponder on it and ruminate on it as the show progresses. And again, if you want to help me try to solve this mystery, or any mystery, or if you just have something on your mind, well, feel free to give us a call at 1-800-836-9278. Let's start with something lighthearted. Excuse me while I get a drink. Oh, so refreshing. Do you ever thank God for the simple things? You know, every night when I lay down in bed, I thank God that I have a roof over my head and a soft bed and that my family is relatively safe, you know, because I have a gun in the nightstand. And I thank God for all those simple things. And as I took that drink of water, I thought about the universe and the fact that all these atheistic scientists are spending millions of dollars and thousands of man hours trying to find water or even a trace of something that might have once been water anywhere in the universe, and they haven't found it yet. And Lord, I just want to thank you for this bottle of water. And sincerely, Lord, very impressed with the whole water situation. Isn't that cool? That worked out well for everybody. All right, now, but let's go to the hard news, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a difficult year ahead. I'm already jumping ahead into 2013, and I'll get to that. But I want to start with something a little more lighthearted from NBC out in Philadelphia. That would be in Pennsylvania for all of you publicly educated and graduated students. An animal rights group there in the Philadelphia area, Berks County. I'm not familiar exactly, but an animal rights group there is, their name is Showing Animals Respect and Kindness. The acronym is SHARK. How cute is that? SHARK are environmentalists, and they're in the midst of a campaign against the Wing Point Commercial Hunting Grounds in Hamburg in Berks County, Pennsylvania. Yes, why would you ask? Well, the Wing Point Commercial Hunting Grounds has a live pigeon shoot on a regular basis, and apparently it is alleged that at the live pigeon shoot, live birds are actually shot down. Why, might you ask, are they using live pigeons? Because it's not that impressive to shoot a dead pigeon. What's someone supposed to just toss it up? And that's not impressive. What's impressive is to hit a bird on the wing. That is impressive. Well, the Wing Point Commercial Hunting Grounds there in Berks County, Pennsylvania, they've been having their regular pigeon shoot on a regular basis. So SHARK, that's Showing Animals Respect and Kindness, SHARK began using an octocopter. Did I say that right? No, an octocopter. That's right. It's a remote-controlled flying machine with a high-tech video camera, and they've been secretly recording the pigeon shoots live as they happen. That's right. Better known to you and me as a drone. Yeah. They've got their octocopter drone flying, hovering over the hunters as they shoot down the live pigeons. This has been going on for quite some time. Now, I want to say something about drones before I go any further. I saw a special within the last 2 weeks on television about drone technology and how they've now got drones the size of your thumbnail that have a camera that they can fly practically through a keyhole. And I just ask myself, is this going to end well for the human race? Drones that can be as small as your fist or your thumbnail that could possibly carry weapons, firearms, cameras. I just don't see it ending well. I see it. I see a really bad, or maybe a really good, science fiction culmination to the whole drone situation. And you know, it to me, it seems like it's more than firearms. You know, it's a drone that you could fly into someone's house, or over someone's house, or over an important building or a bridge. And it seems like anybody with about a fifth grade education can operate a drone. And there's a lot of people out there with fifth grade education. So, I mean, they graduate from public high schools every day. So drones make me nervous, okay? And it's only because of the fallen state of human nature that we're taught about in the Bible that drones make me nervous. Because I like the idea of a drone. I like the idea of being able to engage the bad guys without risking our sons and daughters. I like that idea. But I'm just a little bit nervous about where it all ends. Well, let's find out where it all ended. In Berks County, Pennsylvania, the animal rights activist group nicknamed their drone Angel. And recently, the drone was recording a live pigeon shoot. This was this past Sunday at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when suddenly Angel, the SHARK drone, was struck by gunfire. Yes, it seems that one of the hunters either mistook the octocopter for a live pigeon, or just decided to take some target practice on the drone. Well, the drone was shot down. The group, the animal rights whack jobs, say that the camera's video feed was terminated. The drone went out of control after being struck by a well-aimed shot from a hunter there. And what's the moral of the story? I don't know. Get another drone, you smelly hippies. I don't know what, if there's a moral. I just thought it was a lighthearted thing to open up with, since things are awfully heavy right now. At least they are from my point of view. If we go over into the Middle East, just this past week, the Israelis have struck back after enduring some 7,000 or 8,000 rockets launched into their territory over the past 3 years or so. The Israelis have finally struck back at the Islamists who occupy Gaza. That's right, I said they occupy Gaza.
But they won in a Democratic election. Yeah, well, I'm not so impressed with this whole democracy thing, okay? Case in point, Barack Hussein Obama, okay? Could we say that maybe democracy is flawed? We've got Hamas in Gaza. We got Barry Ho in the White House. Please, enough with the democracy already, okay? I've had just about enough. Anyway, for the first time, the Muslim Brotherhood. Yeah, is that Hamas is a part of the Muslim Brotherhood? By the way, it's M-O-S-L-E-M. I'm telling that to my trusty producer and my other brother, Daryl. It's Muslim. Muslim doesn't roll off the tongue very well. I like Muslim. So the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas have been launching rockets at the Israelis for, I don't know, 2-3 years? Thousands and thousands of rockets. And for the first time, according to this report from BBC, Hamas militants have even launched a rocket on Jerusalem, the first time the holy city has been targeted in decades. Now, the missile was aimed at the Israeli parliament, but, oddly enough, it landed outside the city and there were no casualties. That's the one advantage of fighting an Arab army, is that they generally can't hit what they're aiming at. That's the only thing the Jews have on their side, is that the Arabs have been known for centuries as terrible shots and cowards in battle, by the way. They're famous for it. In fact, they may be more famous than the French for being cowards in battle. And that's the only thing the Jews have going for them, ladies and gentlemen. I remember not too long ago, in the most recent conflict in the north. Now, was that wasn't Hamas. That was Hezbollah. 2007 war. Things didn't go that well for Israel in the 2007 war. Now, no, despite what the UN and the mainstream media told you. Yes, that's the mainstream media. I'd say that because I'm convinced they're all on drugs. Yes. Prescription and otherwise in the media. Yes, the mainstream media may have told you how rotten and nasty the Jews were for that war fought to a draw in 2007. But actually, Israel didn't come out so well. And I'm a little bit concerned. I was listening to Bob Enyart live, oddly enough, last week. I believe it was Theology Thursday, when Bob told the story of the first baby born in the modern state of Israel and the fact that this Israeli family, they wanted a biblical name, so they chose Nimrod. Okay. It kind of tells you that the people who formed and govern the modern state of Israel have very little knowledge of the living God or the scriptures from which their nation propagated. They don't really know. So it concerns me that perhaps the modern day Israelis, well, I hope they kept their powder dry, because I'm not so sure they can rely on any divine protection. I'm just not so sure. So I hope they're good shots. And I hope they have lots of bullets, missiles, tanks, artillery shells, and all that. Anything else from the Middle East? Oh, of course. One more line from the BBC report. Western leaders, I said. That's the West. That's us. Civilization. All that. Western leaders have appealed for both sides to stop the escalation in violence. Now, I'm not sure where those same Western leaders were when the 4,000th, 5,000th, 6,000th, and 7,000th rocket landed in Israel. But I'm glad that we're hearing from them now. Actually, I'm not. Not glad at all. All right. Now, more from the Middle East. Now, I hate to agree with the caliphate, but I'm going to have to agree with the caliphate on one subject. I've got a story from Fox News, Washington, D.C. The dateline is Cairo, Egypt. It's an Associated Press report. Egypt's top prosecutor has ordered government ministries last week to enforce a ban on pornographic websites. That's right. That's the top prosecutor in Egypt. I'm sure a prosecutor in waiting for the caliphate that's coming. And he says they need to ban pornographic websites. And this order came 3 years after the court denounced the sites as venomous and vile under former dictator and strongman Hosni Mubarak. The AP reports that an official in the prosecutor's office said the order followed a protest Wednesday by ultra-conservative Muslims known as Salafis, They've launched a campaign called PureNet to prohibit pornographic websites on the internet there in Egypt. Now, the AP goes on that in the past, similar orders have not been enforced because of the high costs associated with technical applications in blocking the thousands of websites and their various pages. It's very complicated and difficult, and it's very expensive to enforce such a ban, say, governing officials there in Egypt. But I have a suggestion for the Salafis and the caliphate there, a very cost-effective solution. Make the production and dissemination of pornography a capital offense and enforce it one time. Watch how fast you're able to block all the pornographic websites, or at least the vast majority of them. And by the way, we could do that in America here, too. I'd be all for that. The production and dissemination of pornography should be a capital crime. And then it just about goes away. You've always got some outliers, but it'll just about go away. And you won't have to block up the internet with all kinds of data stuff. Blocks and filters and all that. Anyway, what do I have here? Here we go. Back in March, back to Egypt, a lower court ordered the government to ban pornographic websites. Also this year, some members of the country's first freely elected parliament, dominated by Islamists, wanted to introduce legislation banning pornographic internet sites. So I just want to give a warning to all you heathens out there. You heathens who love your pornography. You heathens will be restrained, okay? And the torrent of pornography and filth that you release into our culture will be stopped. The question is, will it be stopped by Mohammed or the Lord Jesus Christ? So you got the Salafis and the Islamists on one side. They want to come and take away your porn. And then you've got the Christians like us coming from the right. We want to take away your porn because we don't want that filth around our children or around our wives and husbands, friends, brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers. We don't want that garbage in our culture. So I just want you heathens to ask yourself, who's going to be nicer to you after they take away your pornography? Is it going to be the Christians or the Mohammedans? I guess it's up to you to decide, because somebody is going to end all that filth, okay? There. And that's about all I've got to say about that. What, you don't think pornography, the production and dissemination, should be a capital crime? If you think I'm going overboard, do you want to call and tell me I'm a member of the Taliban? Well, feel free. The number to call is 1-800-836-9278. If you have the nerve to call, and I doubt you do. I seriously doubt you have the nerve to call. All right, so we'll go on to some numerology. Hold on, another drink of water. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. That was delicious. All right. Now, those of you who may be numerologically inclined, I was reading this article from the Washington Times, and I realized that the year 2013 is upon us, at which will be called to order the 113th Congress in 2013. And it'll all be presided over by the 44th President of the United States. Tell me 2013 is not going to be a rough year just based on the numerology. That doesn't look good. You got 13, you got 113th, you got the 44th President. I mean, I don't live my life based on numerology, but I do like to take note of things. That's all. I like to point things out. Yes, okay. Does anybody get that? Nobody gets it. That's okay. That's all right if you don't get it. There's a book about numerology in the Bible. Do we know the name of that book? It might be called Numerology in the Bible. Anyway, check that book out. And just look into the numbers 13 and 44 and 40 and 4. Anyway, just all very disconcerting. But the article that I was reading that brought this all to mind was from the Washington Times. And it's a story about how the incoming Congress is, well, let's just say less religious than it has been in the past. In fact, Washington Times tell us that Hawaii Democrat Tulsi Gabbard is the first Hindu elected to Congress. And then we've got Representative Mazie Hirono. There's your first Buddhist elected to the Senate from Hawaii. We've got California Democrat Ami Bera, who is the only Unitarian Universalist member of Congress. Yeah, so we got all that going for us. And they say the 113th could be seen as the least devout of all previous Congresses, with 11 members reporting their religion as either unaffiliated or don't know slash refused. They just didn't want to talk about religion. That's all. Just leave all that stuff aside. But you know what is worse, in my view, than having the first Hindu and the first Buddhist and a Unitarian Universalist, whatever that is, being elected to Congress? What scares me more are all the phony Christians. That's what bothers me more. I'd rather deal with an honest Hindu or a Universalist Unitarian, if there is such a thing. And I'd rather deal with an honest Buddhist than all these phony baloney Christians, that's small c Christians, in quotation marks, primarily lurking in the Republican Party. By the way, Congress's only avowed atheist, Democratic Representative Fortney Pete Stark, he lost his bid for reelection. Is it a glimmer of hope? No, there's no glimmer of hope in this whole Democratic system. But I asked for help earlier in the broadcast with a Bible question. And we have a brave soul on the air who wants to help me with my Bible question. Let's go to Barbara in Parts Unknown. Barbara, speak your mind.
Hi.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that under the earth and everything. So there's going to come a time when the dead shall rise first, and then the people who don't rise, they're still gonna come out of the graves, and they're gonna come to the time of judgment. So yes, they're gonna be from under the ground,
from under the earth. So you're taking that as literal, those people who are dead. Now you just implied, Barbara, that even those who weren't believers are gonna be, they're gonna rise, right?
Well, they're not going to rise to heaven. They're just going to come out of the grave.
Well, they're going to be called to judgment.
They're going to come to their time of judgment.
Okay, Barbara. So then answer me this. What does it mean when it says that even those under the earth, that every tongue will confess and every knee shall bow? What does that mean? Does that mean even the people who died in unbelief are going to bow their knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord?
Yes, so that realize that they were wrong, and they're going to confess. They're going to have to.
Wow, that's pretty heavy. So where do they go after that, Barbara? They go to heaven or they go to hell?
Well, they go to the judgment, and then it depends on what God decides.
Well, that's always a safe answer, right? Because we don't know where anybody's going. Barbara, you've helped me to better understand this verse. And I sure do appreciate it. Yes, you have.
To me, I thought for sure you really understood, and we're just bringing a question to us and see what kind of answer you can get.
Well, you know, Barbara, one thing I'm convinced that I do know is that there are many things I don't know, and that I may have a lot of ideas about things, but I'm always open to my Christian brothers and sisters who actually read their Bible to help me to sift through some of these difficult verses. And you are truly a blessing, sister. Thank you so much for your call. There, Barbara, she's, what a blessing. What a sweetheart. So, that's an interesting twist, that the dead are going to be, well, they're going to be brought back for judgment. And they're going to go to the judgment seat, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. And I guess we don't know exactly where every person is going. But I think it's just like I warned you heathens, you and your pornography. You know, your pornography is going to be taken away either by the Islamist or by the Christian. And it's pretty much up to you who you decide to roll with. That's how they say it these days, you know, the cool. That's who you're going to roll with, okay? You're going to roll with Mohammed? You're going to roll with Jesus, okay? It's up to you. And I believe... And I want to thank Barbara for helping me. I think that even those who are raised up for judgment, even if they don't believe, they're going to admit it. Their tongue's going to confess, and their knee's going to bow. Now, you can bow your knee willingly to Jesus Christ in a joyful hope for eternal life and resurrection. Or on Judgment Day, he will bow you. Yeah, he will bow you. You will stand naked, weak, with nothing before the living God. And I believe it's in the Bible that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So even the haughtiest of heathens, can we think of one? Who's the scientist that Bob recently interviewed? Lawrence Krauss, one of the most arrogant men in the history of such things. Even Lawrence Krauss will shudder, tremble, and in fear and trembling, his knee will bow and he will confess that Jesus is Lord. And then Jesus will prove he is Lord if Lawrence has not repented. Jesus will prove he is Lord by sending Lawrence to hell. All right. Thank you, Barbara. Got the brightest audience in the nation, no doubt. All right. So we're done with Congress. We're done with Congress, and we're almost out of time. That's right. It's only a half-hour show. For my friends who listen to Weekly Worldview, I apologize that I haven't done the show in a little while. But I'm trying to make up for it here. Okay? Colorado. The whole state of Colorado's gone to hell in a handbasket. No sooner had we legalized dope than we now have, Democrats have elected the first openly homosexual speaker in the history of the state. His name is Mark Ferrandino, and he's been elected the Speaker of the House, and he plans to pass civil unions to give queers the rights of marriage and to further denigrate the state of marriage, which really marriage could use all the help it can get. The last thing we need is the queers piling on, okay? Marriage is in enough trouble as it is. Excuse me for that poorly turned phrase. Yeah. San Francisco, California, speaking of hell in a handbasket, city lawmakers there, according to the AP, are scheduled to vote this week on an ordinance that would prohibit nudity in most public places. So this is San Francisco. They have to vote to force people to wear clothes. Anyway, Supervisor Scott Weiner has proposed that to make it illegal for a person over the age of 5 to expose his or her, in any public street, sidewalk, street median, parklet, or plaza, or while using public transit. Is there anything we missed? $100 fine for the first offense, $500 a fine for the third offense. Exemptions will be made for the gay pride parade. Okay, that sounds about right. All right, now on to justice quickly. We've got a story from Cleveland, the Associated Press. A woman was caught on camera driving on a sidewalk to avoid a Cleveland school bus that was unloading children, so the judge has sentenced her to wear a sign around her neck in the morning near the school crossing that says, quote, "Only an idiot drives on the sidewalk to avoid a school bus," unquote. So I want to slap the judge more than I want to slap this woman. What a ridiculous punishment. You know, meanwhile, somewhere in America, an American court is forcibly shaving Major Nidal Hassan. The justice system is a joke, and as Bob Enyart says, it's now just a system. Folks, God bless you. Bob will be back as soon as he can, having taken over the world, hopefully. God bless you. Do right and risk the consequences.
You are invited to join us this Sunday morning at Denver Bible Church to worship God and study His Word. At 9:30, Pastor Bob Enyart's verse-by-verse Bible study will help you to gain new understanding of God's Word. The Bible study is followed by a time of fellowship at 10:30, then join our worship team in praise and worship of our Creator God at 10:50, followed by Pastor Enyart's sermon. Denver Bible Church meets at Two Roads School at the corner of Oak and 72nd Streets in Arvada. Join us this Sunday at Denver Bible Church, and bring your Bible.